Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Deanna Reborn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. The What to Read Next podcast helps you build a TBR of future favorite books. In each episode, Lauren and Mean interviews authors and book influencers to recommend books they loved for you to pick up today. If you're an avid reader, always looking for your next great read, then the show's for you. Hi, Alyssa. Welcome to What to Read Next podcast.
Hi. Thank you for having me.
So happy to have you here. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
So I am a LA native. I was born and raised in Los Angeles. I went to college in New York for a little bit and have been writing full time for almost 10 years. Yeah.
So your latest release, Funny You Should Ask. So tell us a little about it.
So Funny You Should Ask is my adult debut. I've written YA up until this point and I'm super, super excited to be moving into the adult space. My elevator pitch for Funny You Should Ask is 10 years ago, Hani Horowitz interviewed Gabe Parker, who was going to be the next James Bond. Their afternoon interview turned into a weekend and turned into a viral article. And after a decade, Hani's star has risen, Gabe's has fallen, and the two of them meet up again to sort of recreate this weekend to do another article. And everything that happened back then and everything that's happening now is revealed.
So this book actually follows two timelines. It has past tense and present tense. So how was the process of writing both of them? Did you write one timeline first or the other one, or did you alternate?
It was actually a super chaotic writing process, which for me, I like to be very organized. I like to write to outlines, and this book kind of just came piecemeal. I wrote it in pieces and then like put it together in another document. So it was like writing sections and then slotting them in to where they needed to go out of order usually, and then going back and seeing what I needed to fill in after the fact. So it was extra complicated because it is a dual timeline. And there are also all these interstitials, all these like pieces of interviews or like articles about Gabe, about Hani. And yeah, so it all got written out of order and then just sort of put together and filled in.
So it was like a bit of Frankenstein book. You're like, you had all these different pieces, like kind of had like a wall and like plug here, plug there, plug there.
Exactly. Very much that kind of like just dropping pieces in and then seeing where the gaps are, like stepping back and seeing where the gaps are.
So what led you to write adult after writing for YA? Like, and what's the difference between both genres or both market?
It's funny that I look back now and I'm like, why did it take me so long to write an adult novel? Because I grew up reading romance. I've been reading romance since I was in middle school, and have always loved it, have always just been a total romance fanatic. But for whatever reason, never, except writing for friends and, you know, writing a fanfic when I was a teenager, I never really thought about writing romance as a career. I think it was a lot of internalized sexism and a lot of internalized kind of literary snobbery about what a good book is. And so I kind of was just like, well, that's fun writing. That's not real writing, which is such a ridiculous thing because that's what I love to read and what I really enjoy reading. And then I had published two YA novels and was kind of in a lull career-wise and ended up taking a job ghostwriting romance.
Ooh.
And so, yeah. And it was this great gig that I did for about 5 years. And I wrote about 15 books over that time. So it was about 3 books a year. And these were books that were, they're sort of like your Kindle Unlimiteds.
Mm-hmm.
And it was probably the best education, the best writing education I've ever gotten, because I got to use skills that I didn't even know that I had. Just that rich history of reading romance for so long, it came really naturally to take that experience and that interest and then get an outline, a really, really detailed outline from the people I was writing for, and then just sort of filling it in. And writing that many books over that period of time and getting just used to the way romance is written mm-hmm. was just great. So then I was like, well, I'm having so much fun doing this. Like, why don't I try writing my own book, my own romance? And once I started doing that, I was like, oh my God, this is the most fun I've had in so long. I was really holding myself back by thinking I had to be a certain type of writer. And once I let go of that and was just like, what do you want to write? What are the books that you as a reader are drawn to? What are the stories that you're drawn to as a writer? And just follow that. So it was a very like, I approached this book in a very self-indulgent way. It was like, this is just for me. I'm writing everything I want to write about, I want to read about. And I think because of that, it feels so special and personal, and it's so gratifying that people have been connecting with it in that way.
It sounded like you had fun time doing it. It felt that way. Like it felt like the author's trying to do something else, but you feel like your author was like actually enjoying the process, even though it probably was chaotic. You enjoyed it enough that I enjoyed as a reader and just enjoyed like the backstory, the understanding, like what was happening, the past, present, and like how this was going to come together. Like the journey was really good. You know?
Oh, I'm so glad it was. I think because I didn't have any expectations with the book. I was still thinking like, oh, you're primarily a YA writer and romance will be like for you, for fun. Mm-hmm. And now it's kind of the opposite where I'm like, oh, all my ideas are adult romances. And I'm just like mm-hmm. super excited to just immerse myself in a world that I've like already loved. But getting to be like a part of it as an author is the coolest thing, is just the best.
Okay, so we got to talk about ghostwriting because I think that's something fascinating for readers and like yeah. writers. How did you get into this ghostwriting gig? Like, did they find you? Did you find like something on Craigslist? Like,
I actually found it through another writer friend of mine, someone who I met in the young adult space. Who I'm not going to mention her name because I don't know if she wants to know.
Yeah.
But she was someone who has just been a great friend and recommended me for a job, and that job led to another one, led to another one, led to another one. So it's like, yeah, all these like sort of small connections that you make. Mm-hmm. The best thing about the writing community is I would say, I don't know if this is the case with other groups, but with YA and with romance, I've found that if you approach this community with earnestness and love and appreciation, you will find other people who are going to like support you and give you opportunities to forward yourself in your career, which has been amazing. So I was very lucky to just have been connected with really great people, and those relationships sort of helped me find work when I wasn't publishing, when I needed stuff to sort of tide me over until the next project.
That's great. I love this. Yeah. I love it. It's like sometimes it's chance encounter. Like it's someone who just has like a referral or just like some loose connection can lead you to the next right action, to the next right action. And you just never know.
So, yeah.
So what is your next project?
Oh, my next project. I am like in it right now. I am still in the early process of it, but I am aiming to have a draft in right before Funny comes out. So I'm someone who over schedules myself to my own detriment sometimes. But I can't say much about it. We should be announcing something in the next few months. I think we have a title. It's going to be very like similar vibes. We're going to have some commentary on like parasocial relationships and our, you know, fame and stuff like that. I feel like I very much write for like I'm an elder millennial, and I write for an elder millennial audience. I really like writing sort of women my age and experiences that are, you know, hopefully everyone will enjoy, but is maybe a little bit more specific and like will make a millennial reader be like, oh, right, that. Mm-hmm. So I'm very excited to be exploring it and having, I'm like just at the point where I'm starting to have fun with it, which is a huge relief.
I love this and I can't wait to pre-order and like read it. Thank you. Yeah, so I love like people are writing for elder millennials because there's something to be said about, you know, all the things that we went through.
Yeah.
We didn't have internet and we just got internet and all this and social media and all those different things. So
yeah. And I mean, I think it's so great. Like I think there was a interview with Adele recently where she was talking, like someone asked her like if she was gonna start writing music for like a younger audience. She was like, well, I'm writing for me and for my for my peers. And I'm like, and that really resonated with me. I was like, yeah, you know, I think there's so much room in romance and it's expanding every day. But yeah, I'm excited to write about like women in their mid to late 30s. I think that's going to be, you know, that's fun. That's interesting to me that, and I don't have to do research as to like what it's like to be in that age and what it was like to grow up at a certain time, very specific time in our, you know, history and our social history.
I love this. So what are you currently reading?
So I am, I just started Meant to Be Mine by Hannah Orenstein. I'm very excited. We sort of friended each other on social media and I've been a fan of hers for a while. And she was generous enough to send me a copy of her upcoming book. And I'm really excited from just the initial read. It feels like it's that sweet spot between romance and women's fiction, like leaning a little more into women's fiction. And it's just, yeah, it's a really fun read so far.
It is a fun read. I finished it off a few weeks ago and it has like the great Jewish representation of a grandmother who's yes. just like chef's kiss, you know?
I know. I love it. We definitely need more Jewish representation in romance. And so it's really nice to sort of see more and more authors. I mean, Hannah's been doing it for a while. And we have, you know, there are some really like Rachel Lynn Solomon's been writing great representation. And like, I just remember like 10 years ago, it was really, really hard to find a single book. And now we're getting more and more and more. And that's just thrilling to me.
Yes. And it's about joy.
Yeah.
I think that's what sets it apart. It's about joy. It's about having a good life. It's about happily rafters. It's not about, you know, pain and struggling because we have plenty of that. It's just like the joy part. We need more.
Yeah. Yeah. We don't need any, like, I mean, I'm not gonna say no more Holocaust books, but you know, there are more stories to tell about Jewish people than the Holocaust.
Yeah. Awesome. So do you have any book recommendations you want to share with our audience?
Absolutely. It's my favorite thing. I love recommending books. I read Birds of California by Katie Cotugno recently. She is a very, very good friend of mine. We share the same agent, but we've known each other for almost 10 years. And I, like me, she's also moving into the adult space. And like, this book is so good. It's so good. It's funny. It's sexy. She has such a way with, just like her descriptions. I read them and I'm just like, how do you observe these things so perfectly? Just like so perfectly, so beautifully. So I'm very excited about that. I'm really excited about New York Minute by Kate Spencer, which I think will probably be out at this point. I got to read an early draft of that as well. And Kate is just a romance lover and it shows. It shows in this book. It's so fun and sweet and like definitely a love letter to New York. A non sort of romance read, is Serafina by Rachel Hartman, which is like a fantasy series. I've been revisiting it because it's two duologies and the second book of the second duology in The Serpent's Wake just came out. So I'm like rereading all the books and I just finished Shadow Scale, which is the second of like the four. And I think she does fantasy better than anyone right now, at least the kind of fantasy that I love to read, where it's kind of like intimate, like just detail driven fantasy. And so I'm just a huge, like, I'll read whatever she writes, whenever she writes it. I'm very, very excited about it. Yeah. And then I always recommend, Love Lettering by Kate Claiborne, I think is a really, really great romance. She has a new book coming out next year that I'm so excited about. So there's just, and then anything by Alicia Ray. I mean, Alicia Ray is like my, no one, she's funny, sexy, like her stuff is just a joy. Like you could pick up any of her books and just have a great time. So yeah, so many great books out there, so many great books out there.
Thank you for all the book recommendations. They're amazing. And I agree with a lot of them because I'm like, yes, they're all by authors or books that I read and they're so good. So, yay. Awesome. Yeah. Tell us where we can find you online.
So you can find me on my website, which is just alyssasussman.com. I have a lot of S's in my name. I have 5 of them. but usually if you Google me, I'm the only one. So that's very helpful. I'm also on Twitter. Which is just Alyssa Sussman as well. And then on Instagram, it's like Alyssa_Sussman. But search me, you'll be able to find me. And all of the links are on my website as well. So, yeah.
Awesome. Thank you, Alyssa, for being on the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
If you enjoyed this podcast, feel free to share with friends, subscribe, rate, and review the show. This is the easiest way to support the podcast. Today's episode's partner is Libre FM. If you're an audiobook listener, then you should add Libre FM as your go-to source for paid audiobooks. Libre FM makes it possible for you to buy audiobooks through your local bookstore. Memberships start at $14.95, and they also have great sales for women's audiobooks each month for $3.99, thanks to the Kiss Club. To sign up for Libre FM, please visit whattoreadnextblog.com/LibreFM. You will receive a free audiobook when you sign up for a monthly subscription. If you purchase a subscription through our link, you will be supporting the podcast at no cost to you. The What to Read Next podcast is part of the Frolic Podcast Network. Please visit frolic.media/podcast to discover new shows to tune in. Thank you so much for listening and have a great day.
Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? What to Read Next podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always on the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit whattoreadnextblog.com/sponsorships. To learn more or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship or package for you. Thank you much for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.